You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
We had good cop, bad cop. Very sad to report and record the death of Shad Gaspard at the age of 39 years old. Whilst at the moment we do not know all the facts about what happened exactly, the former WWE wrestler was unfortunately taken from us when he was helping his son, who was in difficulties, in the sea off of a LA beach. It's day sad, of course. He had some great years in WWE, of course, and on the independent scene as well. Part of Crime Time with JTG. I got to see him, actually, in 2008 at the O2 Arena in London. I was able to watch Crime Time come to the ring for a match. And as they were doing it, they were doing their money. Yeah. Well, one thing they did as well was, no matter what country they're in, they'd always change the dollars to whatever currency was in the country in question. Well, someone must have briefed them wrong, because as they were coming down to the ring, bear in mind they were faces, of course, so the whole crowd was chanting along the money, no problem. But as soon as they started saying, they're saying pounds, they said them euros, yeah. The whole arena just booed them out of the building. It was funny. It was something I wasn't expecting. They were charismatic, and Shad was so agile for someone so large. Thank you, Shad, for being someone that people could look up to. And we're good call back up. Offer our condolences to your family and your friends at this very sad time. Rest in peace.
This is episode one, I believe, of Good Cop, Bad Cop After Dark is, I think, how we've decided to christen this, Matt. Let me give a little backstory. With there being no independent wrestling to watch right now, MGB needs something to go watch. So I've been scouring PowerSlam. I've been scouring IWTV. And I was just scrolling through PowerSlam TV. Don't forget to use code Good Cop, Bad Cop, 30 days free. And I noticed, I was scrolling right through, and I saw this Riptide. Now, I couldn't remember where I'd heard it. I think I heard it, somebody mentioned it on We the Indies like a week ago. And it's kind of stuck in, someone said it was brilliant. And it kind of stuck in my head. And I was like, why not? I'll click on it. I'll start watching it. Go ahead.
I heard about it originally, thanks to Five Nerds Ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they mentioned it as well. So it's obviously, it mentioned it was a big organization. Now, I don't watch things like Progress in England. I know that they're really good. I just, for some reason, I've just never quite got around to it. Yeah. I saw that and I just kind of carried on through. I guess I was looking for something a little bit smaller for MGB. Anyway, as I started watching, within the first minute, I was like, oh, no, this is not suitable for MGB at all. But this is brilliant. So I started watching, and I think I watched probably about the first match or so. And then I think that's when I got to you and said, hey, are you interested in recording an episode for times when one of us can't make the show for some reason or other? We had a few of those last year. And you were like, sure, why not? And over the period of the last 7 days, I watched it pretty quickly, actually, because I wanted to get through it. You watched it today. And basically, we've done many variations of MGB doing good cop, bad cop doing MGB, et cetera, et cetera. This is kind of going to be an MGB format in the terms of I'm going to talk about some of the wrestlers and I'm going to get you to do your specialist thing where you can talk about what actually happened in the matches. You were going to pretend and do Mason's voice. I'm hoping you decided against that.
I did for two very good reasons. Yeah. One, his voice is broken, so I can't now. And two, I don't think my reputation would survive. So, I'm happy to do some things he normally would do. So, for example, say, we didn't go and get him into week four before we opened or anything. We didn't get there for bell time or nothing. Dad wasn't there quick getting us there, but I'm not going to do that.
You did ask, like, what format should this be? And I said, I still think that you should frame your moments in terms of good cop moments and bad cop moments, just so we can distance ourselves from MGB a little bit. The thing that was evident to me was, and after two matches, I actually tagged Riptide straight away and said, oh my gosh, this is brilliant, and I've only seen the first two matches, so I can't wait to see what the rest is like. And I already knew who was going to be in some of the later matches, and I was already excited by that. When you watched it this morning, you kind of were on instant message with me and going, oh my gosh, I love this. And that was pretty quick as well. So I think we might have found an organization that we're both probably interested in looking at more of. But anyway, today is actually March 29th. I have no idea when this is going to come out. So most of the things, luckily, this is an old event. This is from 2017. So it doesn't need to be too time specific, I don't think.
Absolutely not. When you said it was after the second match you posted that, I was having to stop-start because I was doing other things at the same time. You actually tagged me to actually show me where you put it. When you tagged it was just after the second match had finished. It was literally your timing could not have been better.
Yeah, because I don't think he'd seen the fact that I'd posted how good I thought it was. And I don't think we really talked about it when we recorded Good Cop, Bad Cop last week. So I was like, sure, yeah, here, look at my post, just so you can see. But yeah, I gave high praise to Riptide, and I'm sure you'll get that vibe as long as we actually do this review. Bad! Good! All right, so this was recorded then at the Brighthelm Centre in Brighton, August 3rd, 2017. And I'm going to do the introduction, and I think this will probably lead into why we didn't do it for MGB. First match, Spike Trivet came out. He cut his promo. There was a lot of booing at the start. There was definitely some foul language to address to him. They obviously knew who Spike Trivet was. And he mentioned the fact that he was interrupted by a rainbow gummy bear. Oh, I think that's supposed to be... I think he's referring to Jack Sexsmith in regards to that. He continued in his same style throughout, and it was clear that it wasn't suitable. Now, I did people were heckling him. They were calling him a Tory W. And I also heard that, I don't know if they said this in this segment, but they've used the C word with regards to him as well. And he actually talked about this on a 2 of 3 in a YouTube segment. Interviewer, Spike Trivet is a heat magnet. How did you come to develop or decide upon this character? And Spike said, to be honest, it just came about naturally. We were doing a promo class, and when I upped my poshness, because I was privately educated in Cambridgeshire, everyone said it was the right way to go. Then I just wanted to make him more modern and mix things in with my own experience. And with wrestling fans, who I'm going to guess are pretty much working class people, that would be the general image, I would say, of wrestling fans, that's going to go perfectly with that. Most of those are going to hate the Tories, and it played into that pretty well. I do remember very early at Nova Pro, there was a character who was the progressive liberal, I think it was. And he had sort of the opposite side, that everyone was very supportive of him. Whereas, as you know, Logan Easton LaRoe would be, although he's listed as a 1%, and he doesn't specifically mention Republicans, he's clearly very aligned with that group, and for that reason he gets a lot of boos. So there was a lot of similarities between those two characters. All right, match one started then, because Jake Sexsmith came out. So Jake Sexsmith versus Spike Trivet. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, bad cop moments or good cop first? We'll go with tradition, go with good cop moments, why not? That crowd was just all over Trivet the whole way through. That crowd was just
brilliant.
Unbelievable. Oh, not long, they were, but they were electric. Very political chants as well at times. F the Tories. Stories a few times. Maybe like that or not, it's up to you. I've actually got a couple of bad cop things here. Bad. Sexsmith was very proud to be from Brighton. I don't necessarily think that he needed to say that, seeing as that was his entire character. You could tell that. For the benefit of the tape, Brighton is a very, how should you put this, very LGBT-centric place in the United Kingdom.
I was going to say the San Francisco of England.
Pretty much. Sixth myth in Ugg boots.
No. How does he wear this fur-lined things? I had that written down too.
No. Bad cop moment with the finish. the finish, because Sexsmith was going for basically a mandible claw using a prophylactic instead of a sop.
Oh, well done.
And Trivet kicked him the dingo for the DQ finish.
Yeah, he got a low blow in there. Yep.
And then Trivet attacked the referee with said prophylactic after the match, and then Sexsmith returned for the save to save the ref, and then left said prophylactic on his face as they the ring. Ended with a good cop moment.
I got a few things. Some of those things that you were talking about, with obviously Spike Trivet being the heel, and he was obviously doing things that were not legal within the match. The crowd did point out, same old Tories, always cheating. that was pretty cool. The crowd was spot on with this the whole time. I put it was like, now we commented before, like the NXT UK crowds are always obviously very good as well. I wasn't expecting the crowd to be as this involved as they actually were. And I think that was the thing that made me love this organization more than anything else. They were. They knew the characters. They played a huge part in making these matches great. They also had, it was like a football match, and I'm talking football as in the English sense. They had
soccer.
I'm going to use the F rather than say the actual word, but they had F him up, Sexsmith, F him up. But they had different chants that you would hear at the football ground that they'd adopted for the wrestling match as well. And I just thought that added to the whole thing. Yeah, I don't have any specific bad cop moments for this one at all, only good cop moments.
Yeah, It was certainly a good one to warm the crowd up with, that's for certain. Bad.
Good. All right, match two was TK the Monogamous Cooper versus Chuck Gnarly Ass Professional Wrestler Mambo. Now, I want to talk about this straight away, actually. This show was actually only 90 minutes, which is kind of unusual. That was really short. One of the things they did to condense it was they cut out all the entrances, with the exception of that first match. They put up like a picture, and they had the captions. It seemed like they added the nicknames. I don't know if they are there really their nicknames or if they'd added that, but it seemed like every single person had a nickname as far as I could tell. And I liked the video. I liked how they put that together at the end. I thought that was perfect from PowerSlam TV. And that 90 minutes just absolutely blew by while I was watching it. And I think we got this 16 more episodes, if you want to call them that. I can easily imagine myself at some point going through all of those as well. I thought it was great for the fan to watch, and nothing too long. Like, you know, I won't watch Raw. I'm not sitting and watching 3 hours. With all the commercial breaks and everything like that, yeah, there's no way I'm doing that. I won't even watch SmackDown for 2 hours. So this 90 minutes, I thought it was a really good how they put that together. Yeah, no intro for this one. It went straight into the match. Now, I got to say, actually, when the ref came out, I actually thought it was James Acaster for a second. Now, that's not going to mean much to most people, but it's a comedian from Britain. I should have mentioned this to you ahead of time, Matt. Say, hey, what did you think? But anyway, TK Cooper on Twitter. Who is your favorite and why is it me? He's known as the Headbutt Messiah, and he's from Auckland, New Zealand. Now, March 16th on Twitter. All I'm after during this apocalypse is a Hawaiian pizza with mushrooms. Now, Good Cop, Bad Cop's been talking about pizza a lot recently. I know that certainly pineapple is not your thing. What about mushrooms?
Love mushrooms, personally.
I did notice, actually, 5 Nerds Go, as you mentioned them earlier, said, I like mushrooms, but I don't like them on pizza. Same with a lot of things. I like them, but they don't have to go on a pizza. I think that's a pretty logical argument. I'd eat an Hawaiian pizza with mushrooms. That sounds pretty good. Now, he also has an episode.
It doesn't have mushrooms on it.
All right, fair enough. I don't mind it. I actually found a podcast while I was actually trying to research him as well. It's called Desert Island Graps. Now, I don't think I've talked to you about this. This is an English show from Radio 4 originally called Desert Island Discs, where they have celebrities on. They talk to them about their life story, but they in between gaps, they play their 7 songs they would take to them if they go to a desert island. Desert Island Graps, you get to pick your three favorite wrestling matches that you can take with you to watch on this desert island. We'll have to extend the disbelief a little bit. Like, they'll obviously have some sort of player or whatever it is. And, yeah, they kind of talk about their life story in between. The first one I actually listened to was actually somebody who was from the Isle of Wight. And having lived there myself for many years, it was actually pretty cool. I really like the format. I would definitely recommend going checking out Desert Island Graps. I think I've listened to about four or five of them so far. Shazza McKenzie is one who's on there. Izzy. I'm trying to think who else is on there. Obviously, TK Cooper, because that was where I found this. And I can't remember the guy who was from the Isle of Wight, but definitely a good show to go check out. All right, Matt, tell me about this,
what
Matt.
What the time you've gone off on there? If we get back to TK Cooper.
Ron, it's you. You can talk about TK Cooper, or you can tell us about the match.
Okay.
Tangents when I find things. When I start researching things, if I find one thing, I can go on a chain, and it can be 10 minutes before I get back to where I'm supposed to be.
Yes, don't we know? My editing isn't always for my benefit. Right, okay. Sometimes I actually do wrestle, Mambo said when he actually had Cooper in an arm lock. I thought, yes. Again, involving the crowd, it was great. Really fast pace. I love the fast style. It's always a good thing. Both of them spilled to the outside and started using people outside the ring as shields. And I thought, not strictly in the rules of the match to do so. And it escalated very quickly, obviously, further and further and further, to a stage where they eventually had to clear plants to help them out with something. No problem with that, though. But then, obviously, they didn't punch them both. And then they started attacking them rather than each other and actually helping each other attack the two plants. I'm like, Jesus.
They started with fans, then they included a photographer, and then actually it looked like security as far as I could tell from the attire they were wearing. But yeah, they just kept upping it. But yeah, when they actually teamed up together to beat up security, I thought that was great. That was definitely a good cop moment I had written down.
Yeah. Bad cop moment here. Bad. Actually got two back to back. Mambo asking people to move, didn't like it.
Now, I actually put on this was the comment that I did put. I liked it because only it was so British. It couldn't have been any more polite. Like in England, like in the States here, we got Nick Gage telling you to get the F out of the way, basically. Like, he's polite enough. It was the most polite move out of the way I'd ever heard, though. And to me, it added to the British side of it a little bit. I liked that.
Cooper saying to Mambo, you forget I'm Samoan. Doesn't really add much, personally. It didn't add much to it. You're tough. We get it. Cradle neck breaker off the knee. I mentioned you at one with a surprise, with a shocked face on Messenger when I saw that. Good comment for that. Bad comment because that's where it should have ended, in my opinion. That was brutal. That should have been a finisher, not a kick out, too. And then Mambo won with a modified Celtic cross for a free count.
Now, I got one other good cop moment, or for me, because I like the comedic style. He threatened him with a beach ball. Like, it's very bright as a seaside.
No, he threatened to break the beach balls because they were his.
Oh, I misunderstood that part. Bad.
Right, guys, as you all know, that you can get 30 days free with the code GOODCOPBADCOP on powerfam.tv. However, don't forget there is an app you can get from both the iOS and the Google Play stores. However, to get the code, you must go onto the website to use it. Otherwise, you will not get the discount. Once you've done that, go back to the app and you can watch your heart's content. 30 days free, code GOODCOPBADCOP. Bad!
All right, match three, Eddie the Prince of Wales Dennis versus Session Moth Martinez. Now, this was I don't know what the title was, Drink Till You Drop match or something like that.
Just a drinking match, it was called.
Drinking match. Now, I don't know if you remember this, Matt, we actually saw Session Moth Martinez in a drinking match at WrestleMania weekend too.
We did. I believe it was at Orange County doing something or whatever.
It was. I wrote it down exactly what it was. It was a 5 o'clock somewhere, last person standing. Now, we've talked a lot about that event. We've never talked specifically.
No. Last person drinking.
It says here, last person standing.
I know, but it's technically a last person drinking because that's the tagline of it. It is last man standing, but yeah.
Okay, so it was Martina versus Nate Webb, and it was at the White Eagle Hall where we went to see this. Since that's happened, quite a few things happened to Session Martinez. I actually saw her on the WrestleGate Pro as well, which MGB was reviewing the first two or three of those events. September 11th, 2019, it was reported that Martina had signed to Ring of Honor after turning down a WWE contract. Kevin X confirmed her rumor signed in the official ROH column, and apparently she turned down an NXT UK contract to do so. Initially, that sounds like an unusual decision, and that's what I first thought until I saw this second part. But a Ring of Honor deal will allow her to continue working for her current European independent promotions and Stardom in Japan. So I guess that same kind of deal with AEW. Like, we still see Orange Cassidy. He was at MCW only a few weeks ago. So I can understand why somebody would want to do that as well. She made her official Ring of Honor debut at the Free Enterprise event on February 9th, 2020, where she defeated, I think it's Sumi Sakai. I think that's how you pronounce that name. Or Cerny Sakai. And the last match I have for her was February 29th, 2020, where she defeated Angelina Love, defeated her at Ring of Honor Gateway to Honor in Missouri. So yeah,
that
sounds like she's
a really good opponent. To be fair,
she's wrestling regularly for Ring of Honor now, then, from what I could tell.
Good for her, really good for her, because I love Session Moth. I think he's amazing. Right. Okay, I've got a collection of good cops and bad cops. Right, okay. Session Moth clarifying the alcohol percentage. Good cop moment, definitely. I like that. However, the crowd shouting back is Desperado. It's vile. Bad cop moment. Why? You got a crappy beer in there. Why? Next thing I have is when Chapman and Gray came and interfered.
And that's where my notes started for this too.
Okay. Chapman looked about 12. as the father of a 12-year-old, and pretty much you can understand this one, crowd were all over Chapman, which is a good cop moment. And they actually gave him a beer, and he took one sip, and a security guard jumped up and actually asked for his ID. That was a very good cop moment. I loved that.
That was brilliant. It reminded me of Josh Fuller at Crab Wrestling, because in England, in America, you've got to be 21, actually, to drink. Yeah. So I think they were all saying that you're not legal. I think he was actually 19. I think you're allowed to be in there, but you just weren't allowed to drink. But yeah, it was kind of funny. And I think he had matched with Hornswoggle, because that's one of Hornswoggle's big things. Like, he'll always take a drink mid-match. And of course, Josh wasn't able to do it parodied that, and I thought it was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was brilliant. Obviously, then Chapman was escorted from the ring, and then Gray kind of jumped in and made it a triple threat match. He proceeded to kick Session Moth. What is
the female dingo?
We came up with another term for it, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. It wasn't the bum, that's for certain. Basically, there was a low blow to Session Moth, which preceded a chant of "You sick F-word."
Yeah.
A razor's edge buckle bomb? Phenomenal, that was. Absolutely phenomenal. Eddie started a "This is awesome" chant himself. Bad cop moment. Don't try and start your own chants. I tried it with WrestleMania last year. It doesn't work. Session Moth obviously wanted to win, and everyone was saying, I had to let her win sort of thing. And then Session Moth was declared the winner after delivering the codebreaker on Chapman at the same time as Eddie Dennis also performed a manoeuvre and pinned Gray. And the graphic I would have said Session Moth wins, she always wins. The graphic actually said that. I loved it.
Those graphics were good. There was one quote that I was wondering if you would mention, whether you would mention it as a good cop moment, because it was one that kind of got the crowd going, oh! Or if you would mention it as a bad cop moment, because it was a little near the knuckle again.
Well, I haven't written some bits down because I'm trying to keep up with it all. Mention it, and I'll give you my answer.
I'm not sure this will make the edit or not, but close your legs. You're making it echo. You.
Dad.
It was original. We'll put it that way. I thought a meh cop moment for that one. To be fair.
Okay. Fair enough.
I come from Scotland, Graham. I come from Essex. I've heard it a lot.
There you go. I've certainly not heard it on WWE or anything like that. But anyway.
Bad.
Match 4, Dahlia Black versus Candy Floss. Now, I did know Candy Floss. At C Floss Wrestler, January 31st, I think this was a pinned tweet. My teacher said wrestling will never get me anywhere. After a crazy year being a carer too and losing my mom to cancer, I can now truly say hard work and dedication can take you anywhere. I'm so happy to officially say I'm an NXT UK at WWE superstar. The future looks sweet. Now, I certainly knew the last part of that. I didn't know the first part of that. I didn't know all the issues that she had in her life at the same time as trying to become an established wrestler. And actually, while I was writing my notes down as well, I looked also on Twitter. She said, as I watched this, I just found out that Croatia got hit by a 5.4 magnitude earthquake in Zagreb. My family is okay, but it's just so upsetting that Croatia now has to go through this, especially with a virus happening too. Hashtag pray for Zagreb, hashtag Zagreb earthquake. I don't think I even heard that story on news. Obviously, with Corona dominating the news headlines as we're talking right now, a 5.4 earthquake in Europe is kind of rare as far as I know. And yeah, so obviously a lot of things happening to her in her life, and it just happened on that day when I happened to look at this. Something was happening to her right then as well. All right, Matt, talk to us about this one.
Right, most of my moments focus more on Candy Floss because she had the majority of the action. It's Dahlia, not Dahlia, in my opinion.
I was going to write it phonetically, and I was like, I'll just remember.
But in my defense, that's how I pronounce it, because that's the name of road I grew up on. So
tomato, tomato.
No, tomato, all wrong. Right, so Candy Floss, very sugary sweet baby face. I like sugary sweet baby faces, they're cool. So good cop.
Bad!
Bad cop moment, because Candy kept saying hi all the time. Hi! Hi, back from Dahlia. I'm like, we get it. The first time was fine. The second time was like, we get it. Now wrestle.
She's trying to play a little bit of a bimbo character as well, as in she's not that smart, and therefore she kind of is a little bit socially awkward as well, so she keeps doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, then they...
very defensive. Okay, just keep going, ignore me.
I'm trying to, but I'm trying to be professional. Right, okay. The Turtle World armbar from Candy Floss was phenomenal. Turtle World is hard to do, let alone Turtle World into an armbar takedown. And then, obviously, kept getting rolled into a pin and rolled out of it every time. It was quite impressive. Bad cut moment for the botch on the double arm suplex, though. Sorry, it wasn't very good, Candy. But, you know, you can't win them all. And then you had Dahlia with a backbreaker into a gory bomb. And I thought that would have been it. And of course it was, which is good. Bad comment for me, though, for this match, because I thought that Dahlia had a weird mark on her thigh through the whole match. It was a ladder in her tights. Very bad part moment for me.
Now, one thing I forgot to actually mention about this was when we were talking on Messenger earlier, you kept saying you wanted to commentate on this.
Yeah.
What does that mean that you were just so involved in it that you just wanted to?
I was calling the matches I was going through. I literally just started going to like Great Cross Armbreaker there, for example, and then you know I just wanted to start talking about the match and literally as if. Like, as I was doing WrestleMania weekend, he told me to shut up because I wouldn't shut up when I would get my matches happening. Because I see something like that and I want to talk about it.
I told Greg, you should do an alternative commentary thing. I know people have done that before. I think you'd be ideal for that.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. All right. After the match. Now, the reason I talked about Candy Floss first was I had real problems finding. I'm sticking with Dahlia. All I kept finding was this candle maker. Anyway, I eventually found something from BroncoBusters.com. After training in New Zealand, Dahlia set her sights on the UK. She made the move over with her partner at the time, TK Cooper. That's the person from the second match.
Yeah.
And quickly, London became a second home. In hindsight, moving overseas and wrestling aboard was a really cool thing to be able to do with a partner. I think then we realized we couldn't do it without each other. Because we were two people from the same country, it made us more attractive to bookers and audiences. We had something that was different, she says. She wrestled with Progress. I'm going to say, I don't watch Progress, so I didn't recognize her from that at all. And then the last part of the interview says, Dahlia has now retired. She enjoyed a stint as a full-time commentator for Progress and now looks to future projects away from wrestling. Quote, I'm retired. I like the spotlight and I loved where it took me. But after a leg injury, it became clearer to me that I was not as passionate about wrestling as a lot of my peers were. And now I'm a candle maker. I found her straight away and didn't realize that's her business now. So she's not a wrestler anymore. She is a candle maker. But I liked how it linked in with TK Cooper. I like when I can make connections with things. It helps me to remember the wrestlers much better. Kind of ties everything up together much nicer.
Not a butcher or a baker then?
Not in this one. Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv. Bad.
Okay, match five. This was kind of the one, actually, when I clicked on Riptide and I saw some of the matches, these last two matches were the ones I was like, ooh. Even if I only watch the last two matches, I'm going to watch these. But I watched the first ones as well, and I'm glad that I did. Match five, Candice LeRae, Colt Cabana, and Joey Ryan versus Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, and Pete Dunne. Now, this is in 2017. Obviously, those are big names that I'm mentioning right now. All of them have moved on to bigger things. Candice LeRae is obviously on NXT. Colt Cabana appears to be on AEW. And I went back and watched the highlights. He certainly seems to be a regular there now. Joey Ryan's on Impact. And obviously, Tyler, Trent, and Pete Dunne are NXT / NXT UK, depending where it is. So it just shows you, this is one of the things we love about the indies, is that you can be watching people who this is less than 3 years later, are all established stars wrestling on top companies now. So it kind of adds to it. This wasn't even the main event, though. This was just match five. But anyway, all right, go ahead. I have some moments for this if you do not or if you miss them, but go ahead.
If I don't, you say?
This is the one where you showed me pages, right? This is the type of match, actually, where I thought, if I was doing this for MGB, Mason would be complaining because it'd be like, there was so much happening. It's like, there was so much happening, I could keep up with it. Or he'd read like one line and he'd go, and the winner was this team. And I'd go, that's what you got? And he's like, there was so much going on, I couldn't keep up. I wondered if you have similar issues.
I had to pause.
Ah, that's easy.
I had to pause because I was like, there's so much going on here. Right, if you want me to do the traditional basic thing, I can skip ahead to the bottom of page 7. But I won't.
No, because there's too many good moments in this. And also, I want to see if you are going to keep it PG or if we call it After Dark. I don't know why we even tried using other words earlier, but anyway.
Right, okay. I'm going to do my best to keep it PG, and I'm going to thank you in advance for letting me nick your phrase, Mason. Touch my dingo. Bizarre cop moment. It didn't even start 30 seconds. Touch my dingo! Touch my dingo!
Tyler, touch it.
Cole Cabana then sold exactly that. Cabana went and did it and sold it. I'm like... I'm like, okay. Wow. This
Hold
is
on.
Like...
Say something right now. if you haven't seen this and you're not going to watch everything, I would say go and find Riptide. Go and find this event, the first one that's listed on Power Slab. Go watch this match and then come back to this. But this was an absolute belter of a match.
Yeah. Put his weight, Tyler Bate then tagged Trent Seven in. And Trent went to do it, just the tip, apparently.
I have that phrase written down here.
And then didn't, to which the entire crowd chanted, I'm sorry, this is not going to be PG, but I can't.
You're in dingo tees.
You're a dingo tees. There you go. Great cop moment. Pete Dunne then tagged in, and Pete Dunne grabbed Colt Cabana's dingo.
Now, you're missing a phrase before this, actually. Pete was told touch it, and he didn't. And then Colt came in, and he says, you'd better start touching dingoes. And that's what he did.
I missed that part. So, yeah, that happened. It broke down into, like, literally all six of the ring. Candice got right in Pete Dunne's face. That was a good moment. I enjoyed that. And then a triple slap from British Strong Style to all three members. It broke down to the outside, at which point Pete Dunne gave what I call a... What's that?
Gave him a slap to the all three members?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not using members as a euphemism. Okay, continue. No. I thought you were using it as an alternative word for dingoes. Oh, sorry, continue.
No, I wasn't. All members of the other side. Jesus Christ. Okay, on the outside, Pete Dunne gave what I'm dubbing a Joker's smile to Joe Ryan. Basically, finger in each part of the mouth and then pull. Yeah. Made me cringe.
Carnies move right there. I see that one on the indies a lot.
Pete Dunne then was working his way around the outside. It was hard to keep up at this point, but one thing I noted down here, finger manipulation from Dunne with audience participation.
I wrote that down because you know that I don't like that. For some reason, I actually like that. I could watch, because normally I'll just turn away and not even look. I looked and saw that and I thought it was funny. So I don't know. Perhaps it's not the act itself. I guess it's the context it's in. But no, it's the first time I've ever watched Pete Dunne bend some fingers back with some help. And for me, it was a good cop moment, for sure.
Then we've got a bad cop moment. Back into the arena went, Pete Dunne attacked the ref. Wasn't DQ'd. Bad cop moment. Trent Seven's chops. Literally, he got me, he's pumping his fist like that in the air sort of thing, like a whole, and he's just like, the benefit of the tape, that's me tapping as fast as you can on someone's chest. It wasn't any damage, but it was being sold as being hit with a sledgehammer. It was great. The 1-inch punch from Tyler Bate. Good cop moment. James, that one's for you, because I know that you used to do the 1-inch punch of the kid yourself to me. And it actually did hurt when he did it as well. This is a holy bleep moment. Tyler Bate, I'm not sure who it was. I think it might have been Trent Seven, I'm not sure. I'm going to bite it. Talking about Joey Ryan's dingo. No. There are things I could talk about quite happily on this podcast. Even as an out gay man, that is not one of them. Okay. And then Trent Seven chops the ref. Again, no disqualification given. Should have been bad for a moment.
Yeah.
Then we get to British Strong Style showing how well they can sell something so mythical. Trent Seven, atomic drops Joey Ryan, hurts his leg.
Classic.
Tags in Pete Dunne, who low blows Joe Ryan, hurts his shin. Tyler Bate got tagged in, going for a 1-inch punch on the dingo. It sent flying. That was brilliant. Let's go forward a bit more. Candice LeRae with a Hurricane Rana into a Black Widow, which is what AJ Lee used to use. I'm sure she calls it something else, but effectively it's an octopus stretch. And then sent, I'm not sure if it was Seven or Bait, but she then managed to spin out of it and throw them into Pete Dunne when he was trying to interfere. Great moment for that. I've got a bad cop moment though, where she went for the Hurricane Rana with the assist over the top rope. It's kind of laboured. It was sort of ugly, unfortunately. So slight bad cop moment on that one. Now turn the page. Right, okay. If you're following the notes at home, children, you can turn the page here.
The way through his notes now.
Right, okay. Candice LeRae was launched into a spinning DDT. It was beautiful. So she kind of redeemed herself from the little bot she has done. So that's fine. Colt Cabana reversing Pete Dunne's finger twist into the cattle mutilation. At the same time, Candice LeRae locked Trent Seven in the Black Widow. And Joey Ryan popped his lollipop into Tyler Bates' mouth. That is not a euphemism. That's literally what happened. And then super kick. Graham is wetting himself while he's doing that. I'll continue. Tyler Bates kicked out the super kick, which, not a problem with that, to be fair. But when he kicked out, the other two released their submission holds. A bad cop moment. Why let go? Yeah. Like I said, it was kind of... And then we started breaking into the 3-on-3s, where it was a case of the triple flip, flop, and fly, as they like to say with Dusty Rhodes. All of them countered into triple finger bites. And then that transitioned into triple pedigrees and a triple kickout at two. I think that was a fairly good exchange, personally. And then all three of them grabbed some water. That's a pretty strong sell. Did the Triple H water spray, because obviously all of them were signed with NXT. And then all three of them were given the triple lollipop super kick.
While you're trying to interpret your notes, I've had one thing written down in my notes. I keep thinking at some point he's going to say it. So I'm going to be curious to see if you do, because it's something I'd never seen from the NXT guys. Quite a few of their matches too.
Pete Dunne was stopped from throwing the towel in, and then when she did throw it in, which was, you know, interesting. And then they all went 3-on-1 with Joey Ryan to try and take down his dingo. And then eventually Candice LeRae got the pin off of a German suplex, which was very impressive. German suplex at that.
All those notes you had, you missed the one thing that I actually thought was important in this match. So there was an exchange between Joey Ryan and Tyler Bate. So yeah. Joey, obviously Tyler had his hand on Joey's dingo, but he also managed to get Joey's hand on his mustache, or mustaches, whichever you prefer your pronunciations. Now, obviously, Joey did his thing where he was threatening to do his dingo flip, but Tyler was doing the same thing with his mustache. I've never seen Tyler do that with his mustache, mainly because he doesn't do it as a jokey gimmick. Like, he straightens his mustache out, but he's never used it as part of his wrestling moves. I thought it worked really well, though. Obviously, facing Joey Ryan, I thought that really... And that's kind of Tyler's strength, though, right? His Mustache Mountain. It made perfect sense he would do that. I thought that worked really well, too.
Big, strong boy. I also like to point out here, he also delivered the aeroplane spin to Candice LeRae. Which was incredibly high pace. I mean, he really got going with that as well. I've got nothing else, Graham. It was phenomenal.
For me, it was match of the night.
Yeah, which was saying something, because it was a good card.
Absolutely. Good! All right, match six, the main event, Marty Scurll versus Jimmy Havoc. Now, as I was looking through this, I was like, well, obviously people know who those are. I was actually thinking, you probably might not know Jimmy Havoc, possibly as well as even Mason. So I focused on Jimmy Havoc. Unless you know him from Progress Wrestling, that would be the only thing where I wasn't sure. Okay, so he's known for his work with Progress Wrestling, Defiant Wrestling, Insane Championship Wrestling, and International Pro Wrestling UK. Between the five promotions, Havoc is a former and longest reigning Progress World Champion. I certainly didn't know that because I don't watch it. And was one half of the Defiant Tag Team Championship alongside Primate and Mark Haskins. He was one half of the Progress Tag Team Champions with Haskins, and he was also the longest reigning Defiant Wrestling Hardcore Champion and a former IPW UK World Champion. I knew none of that. The part that I did know is, and I wasn't sure of the dates, which is why I looked up, he's been wrestling with Major League Wrestling, MLW, since 2017. I don't think that's one that you watch. I've actually watched episode 103 today. I've been watching it for at least the last 80 episodes. I really like that. And as you announced on Good Cop, Bad Cop last week, it was the first time you'd actually seen AEW. He's been with AEW since February 2019 as well. So I was curious how much you actually knew about Jimmy Havoc. I'm sure you know about Marty Scurll.
I know very little about either, to be fair. So.
Okay.
I know more about Scurll now because he pretty much runs Ring of Honor now. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Does that mean that you didn't also watch... I thought you watched some of the B Elite series with the Young Bucks. Oh, okay. I thought we talked about that. I thought you'd seen some of them. Oh, my bad. Okay, so...
Not me.
Oh, I thought you were a little bit more... Oh, okay, so I was actually more the expert. Rare top moment. I knew more about these two wrestlers than you did. I know that they're kind of indie guys, which is a bit more my thing, but okay, I'm going to gloat for a few more seconds and I'm going to ask you to tell us about this match then.
Okay, I'm opening up with a bad cop moment.
Okay.
This match had to follow the last one.
Yeah, that's tough.
Now, while I do admit, Jimmy, obviously, I've looked them up since I watched this afternoon. Jimmy Havoc and Marty Scurll, big stars. But not as big as the ones before it. And I've got to admit, the crowd were not as up for this one as one before it. Mainly because they were exhausted by this point, I think. But good moment because of the change of pace from the rest of the night. It started... You know, it was a slow build and everything, but it picked things up. The two sweet chants, I'm sorry, no. When we were at Madison Square Garden, Graham, sorry to name drop where we were last year, and we had that Rumble match in the pre-show, remember?
Yes.
Every single time they counted down, it got to 3, 2, instead of saying 1, they'd say 2. Sweet! I'm like, no. No. We don't want to hear 2 sweet right now. Yes, the Bullet Club's in Ring of Honor, but this wasn't a Bullet Club thing.
There was a lot of people wearing Bullet Club attire in the audience. You do realize now every time we start Good Cop, Bad Cop, instead of going, are you ready? I'm going to give you a countdown of 3, 2, sweet. Well, that would work for 1, I guess. There you go. Because they don't actually say the 1 when they do it on camera, right? They normally just do a hand signal. So I guess that gesture that you did would work just fine.
Anyway, some funny spots during this match in general, but in general, this match was a wrestling clinic, which is good. The crow thing, bad cop moment. It was stupid in my opinion, but I have to admit at that point I was 3 Bacardis deep. So I've been drinking a lot today, so I've had a lot of Bacardi. F the revival chance. Adam Cole, baby chance. That unfortunately implies that they're not really paying attention to the match. Usually, if they're doing their own chants, they don't care what's going on in the ring, usually. As we've seen before, Monday Night Raw, when they've tried for anything apart from what's actually happening in the ring.
Now, I'm I'm not a New Japan person, as you know, but isn't Adam Cole part of the Bullet Club, or wasn't he?
Bullet Club has had so many members, it makes NWO look small. So that's not really saying much. However, a superplex triggered something that I did miss from the last match. I meant to write it down, and actually I did, and skipped over it by accident. Second time of the night. This is Riptide, this is Riptide, this is Riptide chance.
Yep.
Good cop moment indeed. Now, I have a bad cop moment here written down because, yeah, it was great, but I was starting to lose interest. I went on my phone during the match. I don't do that normally. I was halfway through, I was like,
oh, perhaps I should write something down.
I've never been writing stuff down here. So I put my phone down and started watching again. So the next thing I've got here is Havoc with a huge lariat for near fall. It was an impressive lariat. And the Tiger Driver from Marty for near fall, but he did say Tiger. He actually said Tiger Driver himself. Doing your own commentary doesn't usually work, mate, but it worked here. And Havoc with a rear naked choke for the win.
Now, I could have let you off the hook much earlier than this. I have 5 words written down for this, and the 5 words were, didn't really like this match. Mainly, I think, for the reason that you actually gave. I don't think it was a bad match in itself, but compared certainly to the 5th match, they had it the wrong way around. This should have been match 5, and then the match 5 should have been match 6. And if I go back and actually look at some of the other matches, it wasn't the strongest match. It didn't seem like a main event. I think that was the problem. The first 5 were just so good. Those first 2, I loved the first 2. I thought the first 2 would be a slow build and I'd just have to kind of get through them to get to the main event. No, the first 2 were great from the start. 3 and 4 just kept that going, and then match 5 just elevated it so much. I think my other problem is I am familiar with Jimmy Havoc. I'm not a big fan of Jimmy Havoc. The only matches I tend to like with him are very kind of similar in his deathmatch type matches. I've seen him with Mance Warner on MLW, and one of his things is he likes to staple things to people's head, which looks great. It looks really good. But it was just a very standard Jimmy Havoc match. And having seen him on MLW, having seen him on AEW, it was a little passe, to be honest. So that was probably one of the other problems with it as well. Not a bad match in its own right. Like you said, there was definitely good moments in it. But when you've had those 5 matches previous to that, it didn't stand up as well. Like I said, if you just switch those 2 matches over, I think it would probably held my attention right through. I was not paying full attention to this, knowing full well that you were going to have to write everything down for this. So I kind of drifted a little bit. I was writing down, I was looking up what Jimmy Havoc did, because I was like, oh, I wonder when he joined MLW. I wonder when he joined AEW. I didn't realize he'd been with MLW for 3 years, to be honest. That kind of surprised me. So.
Okay, so for the benefit of the tape, seeing as I'm sort of sitting in his chair for this episode because of it doing MGB style, every time now that Mason says he's going straight to the finish because he's forgotten something, because he can't remember everything, you can no longer have a go at him for that.
I can when he has 5 words. I knew I didn't need 5. I knew I didn't need anything because I knew you had my back on this one. I can trust you. You're not 12 years old, so I knew I could trust you for this.
I think Chris would say I'm mentally 12 years old sometimes.
All right. I think that, unless you've got anything else, I think that's it.
Overall, it held my attention for most of the show. It's something I would go back and watch more of, definitely.
I definitely want to go see more. If that was only like the first one that they had. I think the episode was called, wasn't it Returns or something? So I don't know if they take a break or something.
Not sure. All I know is that it's in Brighton, and that's a good reason for me to go visit Brighton. Maybe I can convince Chris once this is all blown over to actually a weekend in Brighton, but we're going to watch this on a Friday night sort of thing.
I used to live, probably, once I took the ferry from the Isle of Wight, I lived less than an hour from Brighton. That was my thought while I was watching this. I was like, if I was in England, I would definitely go and see one of these events. The atmosphere is great.
It's definitely the sort of thing I could get behind, definitely. So thank you for convincing me to go watch this, Graham. Appreciate it, definitely. And yeah. And as we've said at the start, this is available on powerslam.tv, and you can obviously use our code GoodCopBadCop to get photos free if you don't already have a subscription. Get it on the website, video quality on the app if you want to as well. It's great, and the editing on it is great as well. I don't know if that was their own personal thing, because you can actually sign up to their own thing on their own website itself. They've got some great merch on their site as well. I looked at it already. They've got a loot crate there. Not so much at the moment because of the whole delivery might be a bit of an awkward thing, but intrigued. Definitely intrigued with some of the things. I need new mugs. So need new mugs. That's pretty much it, Graham. Anything else you want to say?
I was just going to say Mason's loss is your gain. There was no way I would have passed up the opportunity having seen the first couple of matches. I'm just glad that you were on board with it and trusted my judgment on this. I had a blast watching it. It was only 90 minutes, which was, I think, probably perfect for our attention spans by the sound of it. But yeah, no, it held me captivated all up until that last probably 10 minutes. That was probably about all when I kind of started to drift off a little bit. But yeah.
It wasn't too bad. Right then, to take Boy Wonder's phrase, it's goodbye from me.
I wasn't expecting you to do that. You caught me off guard. I was just ready to say boom and end it. We're out of here.
Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/